everything very well this morning. And look good again. I hate to love you this today. Joy having you all. Now open your Bibles at John and the 17th chapter. We'll be looking at that wonderful love life during these days. We're going to continue along the same line this morning. Continue to be much in prayer to your private devotion for these meetings. And then, faithfully today, and tomorrow in the will of the Lord. Now this morning, just after breakfast, you, Mr. Willie, read the scripture from the calendar, this particular one here, August the 31st. Now I'm going to read it now. Probably you already read it. Some of you already got the calendar. Jane, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now that's found in Jeremiah 31, verse number 3. All God's perfections and procedures and modifications, a of his love. His omnipotence is the arm of his love. His omniscience, the medium through which he contemplates the object of his love. His wisdom is the scheme of his love. Offers of the gospel are the invitations of his love. The incarnation of the Savior was the richest gift of his love. The signs of Christ were the bread of his love. The cross of Christ was the greatest manifestation of his love. And little Paul, the love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my long heart all taken up? Find your heart say. Amen. Now, back with the meeting this morning, just seem to claim what's on my heart for you, as well as for my own heart. John 17, the great intercessory prayer, this really is the Lord's prayer. Sometimes we hear the expression, our Father which art in heaven as the Lord's prayer. Now that is the prayer the Lord taught his disciples. Now this really is the Lord's Prayer here in John 17. Now I want you to notice this expression here in verse number 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The words are, or the word is, Father. Father. Now, chapter 17, again, verse number 11. Now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Holy Father. Speak through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou sent me. Verse number 1 is an intimacy between the Father and the Son, and he shall simply say, Father. It comes down to verse number 11. It is concerning us, his own beloved people, and he says, Holy Father. But then at verse 25 is concerning the world, and he says, O righteous Father. Father, Holy Father, O righteous Father. Now I want to talk this morning, I won't have time to finish it, but we'll start this morning on seven facets of love. Seven facets of love, and the first one is found in verse number 24, of the 17th chapter of John. Again, the Father says here, the Lord says, Father, I will see you now as given me, be with me where I am, that then may behold my glory. By the way, that is the only time you ever read of the Lord asking for his own will. The only time. And it's where we are concerned. It says, Father, I will, that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be all my glory. I'll deal with that tomorrow morning, God willing, in the conference. But it says here, which thou hast given me, and notice this, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This morning I want to talk on the Father's love for the Son. The Father's love for the Son. He says here, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Keeping that before you, go back to John chapter 1. I want to use your Bible this morning, because I understand some of you dear young people don't always get me. And so if you're reading it while I'm repeating it, then surely you will get it. Good idea? Amen. I see somebody nodding your head, so that's all right. Chapter 1 and verse number 1. Says here, remember our text, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now notice verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning. Now can you tell me when that was? They remember in Genesis 1, 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, the beginning of creation. That here away back in the countless ages of the age, long before the world was. In the beginning was the Word. Now that is eternity. Is eternity. And the Word was with God, and that is personality. And then it says, and the Word was God, and that is deity. There was never a time when He was not God. There was never a time when He was not God, and never will be God. Then He is God. I love it with all my heart. In the beginning was the Word. Way back in the countless ages of the eternity. Then, Father, and the Word was with God, reminding us of His personality. And the Word was God, not a God. The God, the Word was God. Now go down to verse number 14. I go to in verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Speaking reverently, Lord, was never made anything. By His own definite will. He became flesh. Now this is His incarnation. His incarnation. The thought of His eternity. His personality. And of His deity. But now, this one is God, the very God, wrapped Himself in human clay. He never laid His glory aside. He never ceased to be God. This one veiled His glory, and He became flesh, and tabernacled among us. And John says, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not that we stand back and cry, thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifest. Worthy, O Lamb of God, the God, that every knee to thee may should bow. Keeping that before you, sit down to verse number 18. No man has seen God at any time. Only begotten Son, and notice the present tense here, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared Him. He has called Him out. He has manifested Him. He has exegeted Him. They say, well, He came for this purpose, to reveal, to manifest, to declare of the Father. And the only way we can know the Father is through the Son, the only way. Now, isn't that a remarkable statement? I want to get that deep down in your heart, because it's very vital in these days in which we are now living. Remember, this one is God, our very God, wrapped Himself in human clay. No wonder John Wesley could say so many years ago, as he meditated upon the virgin birth, the great Creator contracted with man, indescribably made man. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh. We bow before Him this morning. We worship Him, and we adore Him. Your heart says, praise is wonderful. Now with that before you go back to Proverbs and the 8th chapter. Brother Frederick, now these assertions you might be deep for you, but I like you to read them for yourselves because they are very, very important. Proverbs chapter 8. Remember now we're dealing with these words. God loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse number 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his work to do. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning of ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set conquerors upon the face of death. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the waters of the deep. Then, when he gave the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandments. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was still his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. For my delight was the sons of men. The Father found all his delight in his holy Son. The Son found his delight in you and in me. Oh, that's the grace. Now back to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis chapter 13. Now that you just notice one or two verses here in the first book of the Bible. Genesis 13 and verse number 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And notice, Abraham is a picture of God the Father. Isaac, a picture of God the Son. The servant, a picture of God the Holy Spirit. And it was said concerning the Father, Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Chapter 22. 22nd chapter, same book. And verse number 2. And Jehovah said, Take now thy son, thy only Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now that is the strongest word in the Hebrew language for love. He couldn't love him anymore. He loved him with every part of his being. Isaac was the apple of Abraham's heart, the treasure of his heart. Isaac was everything to Abraham, and the Holy Spirit said very clearly, Whom thou lovest. All the depth of that world we shall never be able to fathom. Whom thou lovest. And what does it say? And get ye the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. I will tell thee all. Yes, thank God. Abraham loved his Isaac. All his heart, but he loved his God more. He loved his God more. Why I'm interjecting that, I simply don't know. But if you've got an Isaac in your life, you'll really love. You'll love intently, love so deeply, even his friend with God. Abraham loved Isaac with all his heart, but he loved his God more. Isn't that precious? Now, chapter 24. Verse 35. I would to God I could take back the Sabbath here in this chapter. It shall describe Abraham and Isaac, and all belong to them, and all was coming to Isaac. He prayed to that young Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? that I will go. Now look at verse number 35. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and that he has become rich great, and he has given him flock, and herds, and silver, and gold, and men servants, and maid servants, and camels, and asses. Said my master's wife, bear a son to my master when she was old, and notice this now, and after him Isaac, had he given all that he had, I refer to the only begotten. He referred to as the firstborn. Now remember, he had Ishmael. And Jacob had other sons than Joseph. Yet both Isaac and Joseph are referred as the firstborn. The term firstborn does not mean in point of time. It means in honor of rank and dignity of position. And it stood up unique. And they are the firstborn in honor of rank and dignity of position. And he says, he's given all that he had to Isaac. Chapter 35, verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to whom? Isaac. Who is Isaac? He's the heir. He is the heir. He's the heir to all that Abraham had. I like that, don't you? Now, what am I getting at? Go across straight away to John and the third chapter. John chapter 3 and verse number 35. John 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son. And look now, and has given all things into his hand. Now isn't that precious? The Father loveth the Son. And has given all things into his hand. Chapter 13 and verse number 3. Chapter 13 and the third verse. That you'll keep using. You have to hear the turning of these leaves. I like the rustling of the leaves, the Holy Spirit, right? Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. Now notice, you love me before the foundation of the world. But how did he prove his love for the Son? By giving all things into his hand. He's heir all things. I love that, don't you? He's the effulgence of God's glory, express image of his person, holding all things by the word of his power, that he is the heir to all. And the wonder is this, that we by God's grace are linked up with him as joint heirs. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Oh, I know. We are this morning. Tell me more then. We've been looking a little at the Father's love for the Son. Now we're going to look a little at the Son's love for the Father. You've done the Son of Christ's sermon this morning. Thank you so much, I hate you. I'll let you into a little secret. I did a very nasty thing this morning, something I should never have done. I had a fried egg for breakfast. I forgot I was speaking to you. And you always need to look at. So please don't take eggs if you're going to preach. And maybe you're going to say, right, Odin, we felt for a moment of the Father's love for the Son. Now, he proved his love by giving all that he has to the Son. Just even did in connection with Isaac. But now, let's look for a moment at the Son's love for the Father. John 14 again, and verse number 31. John 14, verse number 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And notice now, and as my Father gave me commandments, even so I do. We don't need very much about the Son's love for the Father. Read far more of the Father's love for the Son than we do of the Son's love for the Father. But it says here, the Lord is speaking, that the world may know I love the Father. And the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now, how does he prove his love for the Father? For love is not real love unless it's practical. Isn't that true? The Father manifests his love in a very practical way. All that he had is given to the Son. But now the Father, how are you going to prove your love for the Father? Go back to John 10, please, and verse number 18. In fact, we'll read verse number 17. John 10 and verse number 17. Therefore does my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life, I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have Father laid down, I Father take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. How did he prove his love for the Father? You've got the answer, haven't you? By prompt obedience. By prompt obedience. Because I lay down my life. And it says here, I lay it down of myself. This authority, this part of I received of my Father. This commandment have I received of my Father. And remember, he fulfilled the very guilt, the commandment of the Father. And he proved his love for the Father in prompt obedience. Go back to John 5 for a moment, and verse number 30. John 5 and verse 30. Let's link on to verse 17 just for a moment here, shall we? Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now down to verse number 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Absolute dependence upon the Father. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him. The Satan who is he? The Father. But the will of the Father who has sent me. Now, there you've got perfect obedience. First of all, absolute dependence upon the Father. And prompt and perfect obedience to the will of the Father. And this is how the Son proved his love for the Father. Remember, it says in Philippians chapter 2, this one is so eternal and equal with the Father in perfecting power, how he built all that glory, came down those seven downward steps, and it says, and he became obedient up on the death, even the death of the cross. Now, I want to stress something here. He did not become obedient to death as an enemy. Death is the enemy. That he was obedient to the Father's will, which meant death, and he became obedient up on the death. Even the cruel, despicable, loathsome death of the cross. He became obedient. And remember now, in Hebrews chapter 5 it says, he learned obedience by the pain which he suffered. I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father was sent me and to finish the work which he gave me to do. And he said, Father, I glorify thee on earth, I finish the work which thou gavest me to do. And here we prove the Father's love for the Son in giving him all that he had. And the Son proved his Father's love for the Father in prompt obedience to the Father's will. What a lesson for you and for me this morning. We never can prove the light of his love and the all on the altar we lay. For the joy he bestows and the favor he shows are for those who will trust and obey. And the Son knew the Father's love coming over his whole innermost being to respond. all day and glad and soft and perfect obedience, they will have gone on. Did he know that last day? Look how it we're going to look now at the Son's love for you and for me as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is a very precious truth. Now I want you to reach your heart and to warm your heart, try to scotland, like to warm the cover over your head. That would say Scott, you see. It means to just to warm the core of your heart for the Lord Himself. That is on 13. And verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the very uttermost. Loved them right on to perfection. Loved them right on to Gethsemane's garden, and all its anguish, and all its agony. The only time you read of agony in the Bible is in Luke 22. And he being in an agony stayed the more earnestly, and it's where we are concerned. The one that we sing, Gethsemane can I forget, all there like conflict thee, thine agony and blood like bread and not remember thee. And this same love there's right on the terrible full cross. And having loved, he loved right on the uttermost. Here is the man, a love with an everlasting. I've loved you with an everlasting love. A love that many waters can quench, blood can drown. It's a love that's stronger than death. And we call it a lemon girl. Was the nailed Lord Jesus bound to the cross, no, it was thy love, thine eternal love, thy love for me and for me. And it was love that led him all the way through Calvary, right down the death dark for me. My friend, death did not know to pray. And on that third glorious day, he rose triumphant. They were saying, and death and hell and Satan, and the day, there's a man in the glory. And his love will not let him rest. But his chosen are blessed. He's longing for that day when his God thought the session will be with him and gone to glory. Now we're going to look a little closer at this love for you and for me. And having loved his own, aren't you glad you're among them this morning? Who are they? They that have my spirit. These said he are mine. Romans 8 verse number 9 says, if ye have not the spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Sunday school hymn is sometimes sing it so precious. And on each he said it, his own secret sign, they that have my spirit, they said he are mine. But I've been christened, I've been confirmed, I've been baptized by immersion, I'm a communicant, I'm a church member, I'm a preacher, I'm a missionary, I'm an elder, I'm a deacon. Great thing is this, have you received the truth? If not, you're none of his. When my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God, and he came one of his. Aren't you glad you're there? I know you are. Do it for me, shall we? I want to look now, look please, across at the chapter 15 and verse number 9. Chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, and notice this, and thou in worship, so have I loved you. Now let that come over your spirit life. The very same love wherewith the Father loved the Son is the love the Son loves you with this morning and loves me with. This bummer down in worship and adoration and wholehearted surrender is authority in our lives day by day. Oh, this love may conquer in your heart and in my heart this morning. I'm repeating the verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is the extension of the Father's love for the Son. They're the same. in quality and in measure. Isn't that correct? The very same in quality and in measure as an extension of the Father's love for the Son. You see, I'm talking about the love light. This love light goes through the Son in your heart that's born into my heart. It's the very same in measure and in quality. So near, so very near. More near I cannot be. For the very love that the Father loved the Son, such is His love. And for me, I want you to notice something, and this is a personal love. It's an individual love. He loves you personally. He loves you individually. And He knows the worst about you. He's the one who loves you best of all. There's only one can love like this. And Jesus is His name, His wonderful name. Way back in Exodus 21, speaks there about the Hebrew servant. Says, if he came in by himself, his liberty to go out by himself, but should he say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out to thee. He's taken the door closed, his ear was full, through with an awl. There's the mark of perpetual servitude. Pain is endured, blood is shed, because of his love for the master, his love for the bride, his wife, his love for his children. For they're not the perfect servants. Because his love for the Father, his love for the bride, the church, his love for each individual believer, I will not go out free. And voluntarily and willingly went over the Calvary cross. Trying a little harder there this morning. Even his head, his hand, his feet. Sorrow and love so mingled down. If there's love and sorrow meet, our thorns come close with the crown. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine. Thou hast my heart, my life, my all. Oh, misery of his heart, a glad, ready, willing response to his love. He wants his love reciprocated. He wants his love responded to. And I'm sure your heart responded this morning in a very real fact today. Individual love. I want to think something more here. Maybe a complete blessing to your heart with mine too. We go to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of the same book. And I want you to notice verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. Verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and love is an individual love. It's a personal love. I was in Spanish to speak at a conference the other week with John Phillips, in the other year. And I was going along the line, I was going on, and I could understand why so many amen goes from that great crowd that day. But they've been an American teacher taught there, sometime before, say, we have no right to sing hymns about Jesus loves me, this I know, or the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. Not a word in the Bible about the Lord loving me. I didn't know singing about what he'd been teaching about. There's those dear men, their heart is glowed. They took the brother to pass it after meeting, by the way. But as the heart glowed, the fact he loves me. He loves me. The Lord remember looked upon that dear ruler and said, and he loved him. And he loved him. Aren't you glad he loves you this morning? Eh? Aren't you glad he loves you? Aren't you glad he's everything to you? He loves me. Why loves him? I simply don't know about him. He loves. I love you. And he proved his love. The Father. Count the verse number 31. Two then were with her in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary, she rose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes down to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And I put three great exclamation marks behind these words and was troubled. This one, upon whom worlds upon worlds are descended, calleth every star on the earth that is named in his number, upholding all things by the word of his power, who gave us our very breath, the word of breath, down his own hand, that his glory is good. The word means like the snorting of a hawk. So intense, how deep was that suffering in the Holy Son of God, he glory himself. Remember, our lovely Lord looked over to Jerusalem. He thought of what was about to happen to it, and it says, he cried and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as the hand of the chicken and the wing, but thee were not. And oh, it's not. We see him there weeping over a nation's sorrow. Here in our picture, we see him weeping over a family's sorrow. He was part of their strong signs and tears. He weeps over his own sorrows. No, I hastened to qualify that. Not his own sorrows, your sorrows, my sorrows, but he means that he's very old. Isn't that amazing? He is over a family sorrows. He's over a nation's sorrows. He is over your sorrows and my sorrows. And he's a man of sorrows who is acquainted with our grief. Now go down to the Father because he's very present. And they said, where is the will to lay him? They say unto him, the coming sea. And there's two sublime words on the written girl. Jesus, can you imagine this? Can you allow it to grip your heart? Can you grip this truth? He wept. The holy, sinless, spotless Son of God. It's not a weakling to weep. Peter wept. Paul wept. I weep. Sometimes I find Jesus crazy down. Over and over again. I very seldom weep in public. I often weep in my own study. My own bedroom. My own car. He wept. Oh, I know it's referred to the strongest verse in the Bible, but really isn't there. Shortest verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, rejoice evermore. Oh, you say, Jim, wait a minute now. There are more letters in rejoice evermore than Jesus wept. I said, I know that. But you know there are 16 letters in the Greek where Jesus wept, and only 14 for rejoice evermore. But we'll just take this, shall we? And rejoice that Jesus, isn't that precious? Have you ever known him experientially weeping for your concern, weeping with you? And notice what the Jews said in the very next line. Behold, who says, behold, how he loved him. How he loved him. And this morning he loves you. He loves you. And he loves you. In the same Galatians 2, verse number 20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself. May I ask you, my name, and you thank me for that love? Do you know this love? Not just theoretically, not just doctrinally, not just scripturally, some just thing about and so on, but do you know it's so entered in your own life? Do we love you? He really loves you? I go on from there tonight, God willing. Please do be much in prayer regarding Jesus' service. If you do not yet know that first love and you want to know it, you want to talk to us about it, please don't go away into some boy or girl, some older person here, and you never yet known this love in your own heart. We want you to know this love. You want to know the one who's loved personified, the Lord Jesus, coming into your life, staying over in your life. In it, love is part of the tragedy and glorious trial. And all the years this morning, with love life, he's coming here. Number 33. number 33. Thank you so much for your rapt attention, and I trust the Lord's blessed word your heart will go on tonight and speak of the Father's love for us tonight, the Father's love for you and for me. Hymn number 33. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast and measured boundless sea, rolling as a mighty ocean is over every underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to my glorious rest above, thine hand the shining mountain road, and depart we came. I see along the line, the finishes, and just to hear that crowd sing, but they can't sing like me. Hey, come on, that's lovely. Oh, yeah.
Up the cloud.